Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
You know what? It's a beautiful day here in Maine today, a little bit foggy, but I welcome you all to the Best Ever You Show. And we have just got a tremendously beautiful, smart, talented, and successful woman with us today. I can hear her in the background going, "Don't say all that about me." But yeah, we're going to say it, Michelle. I can hear you wince. I can see you wincing right there as I say all these wonderful things about you. Yeah, I can hear it. But we have the pleasure of having Michelle King Robeson with us. She is the founder, and I don't know if we want to call you chairperson, chairwoman of Empower. And let me spell this for you, because you can go right to her website right now. It's EMPOW, and then I love this capital HER.com. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for having me. It's a little warmer here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, I'm jealous. You're in Phoenix, Arizona, you spoiled thing. I love going there. That is the most beautiful place. Ah, warm.
It's gorgeous, but it's awfully warm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you got to like the little the spiders.
Exactly. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled to be a part of the Best Ever You Network. I love what you're doing. I think that women need this information. You know, living your best life. That's what it's all about.
You know what? You're so funny. You are one of the most humble people I know, because you're just so real, because, you know, really this is about you, and you're thanking me right off the bat. I'm thanking you for being with us today, because you have, I sort of almost stumbled upon you, I want to say that, on really, truly, on your website, and I just can't believe how amazingly helpful it is and how resourceful it is. We have people already lined up to speak with you live on air, and we have tons of people in the chat room. Can you tell us a little bit about Empower?
Sure. I'll start with sharing a little bit of my story, if that's okay with you, and that'll lead us into why I created Empower.com. I got sick, uh-huh. I got well, I got mad, and I started a company. And watch out when you get a woman mad, right? Because we go off and do things that are going to be life-changing for not only ourselves but for others. But I was given a complete hysterectomy at the age of 42, so ovaries removed as well, and I was told that I would feel better. I had a lot of symptoms prior to having my complete hysterectomy, and so I agreed to it, and I tanked. So what I mean by tanked is I couldn't think anymore. My brain function was virtually gone. My short-term memory was gone. I had joint pain. I gained weight. I'd go into my closet. I'd put on a pair of jeans. I'd flip those jeans off, put on another pair, and, you know, have a pile a mile high. Wasn't eating anything different than I normally would. Wasn't doing anything different than I normally would. And yet I was just, you know,
feeling
I just tanked.
Yeah,
I felt horrible. And part of what happened was it caused me to go into a deep depression, because when your brain function is gone, you know, that's, of course, I thought, first of all, maybe I have the onset of Alzheimer's at 42 years old. And then you just start to, you know, because of all the symptoms, you start to feel pretty hopeless. And I went to 9 different doctors. I went across the country. I did so much research, and I researched the best doctors I could find. I had the resources to go wherever I wanted to, so I did. And in the end, I couldn't find anybody who could help me. I was over-medicated by 100 times, and certain medications I was given, I shouldn't even have taken. And so that led me down this path of spiraling down.
And how long ago was this?
Well, I'm 52, so it's going on 10 years.
Is that before the age of like us knowing that, you know, hysterectomies throw us into menopause, and menopause throws us into lack of estrogen, and lack of estrogen throws us into depression and lack of vitamin D and lack of hormones and all this stuff? Is that kind of what you discovered?
I did. I discovered what I've really discovered is that a lot of women start to go into menopause actually in their late 30s. Most people think that menopause, most women think that menopause starts in their 40s and or 50s and sometimes in their 60s, right? And it depends because each person, each woman is, you know, it's individualized. But I will say in my case, I think part of it was stress-induced early menopause. So I went into perimenopause, and I had all the signs and symptoms of it, yet nobody checked my hormone levels because I was too young. They thought I was too young to be going through perimenopause, so there was never anything checked. And, of course, when I had this complete hysterectomy, I never had a bad period. I mean, I didn't suffer through cramps and fibroids and things of that, which a lot of women do. I didn't have those things happening to me. But what I did was had a lot of the other symptoms that most women and most doctors don't even recognize as being symptomatic of someone who's going through menopause.
Yeah, and it was just at such an early time. So now we've had the benefit here on Best Ever You of trying to educate our audience about that over the past few years with the folks from like Hot Flash Havoc on. And so forth. We've had a lot of fun with Hot Flash Havoc, and we've had some good shows on that. But I do want to. Do you mind if right off the bat I take a call? Because we have somebody who really wants to chat with you, and she happens to be the gal who her name is Dr. Katie Eastman, and she started the Best Ever You show with me. So it's really fun to have my co-host. Katie, are you there?
Yes, I am. I didn't know I was on. Can you
hear
me?
I'm bringing you on. Yeah, you can do it on the fly. We know you. How are you, girl?
I knew you'd do this to me.
Yeah, I love you.
This is my story. Yes, I'm sitting here writing down everything that I could totally relate to in relationship to your story. I, too, had a hysterectomy, spiraled down, gained weight, and immediately I was remembering when I went to buy bras and I was all of a sudden 42 long. It really changes and shifts your body, and you have absolutely no idea. And I wasn't prepared for the impact on all aspects of my whole system.
Right.
And it was a real struggle. And my question to you is, you know, as healthcare advocates, we want to embrace complementary care and allopathic medicine together.
Right.
How do we do this? Because my problem was I was so complementary care focused, I missed the signs that there was endometriosis all the way up my spine by the time I got into the surgery. And people tried to tell me, you know, why aren't you going to a physician? And I said, well, because I really believe in complementary care. So how do we balance that? That's my question.
Well, I think that, number one, it's a pleasure to meet you as well, Dr. Eastman. And I'm sorry that you've experienced what I've experienced, but it actually helps us, you know, help women move forward with you know, who have been faced with complete hysterectomies, because there are 650,000 unnecessary hysterectomies in the United States every year, just to give you an idea. But I think that...
How many? Will you say that one more time? How many?
650,000.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So you can only imagine how many women... Yeah, how many women are suffering on a daily basis because they don't have the information and the resources available to them. Although that's why I created Empower, right, was because I wanted women to have a place to go where they could find traditional treatments as well and educate themselves about their body as well as look at alternative treatments. so that there's a mix, because I think what's happened with women, I know what's happened with women historically is that we're told what to do and we're not necessarily given choices and options. And every woman is different. As we know from, you know, as I know from my own hormonal experience, that our treatment would not be the same. And so we have to look at what is going to be best for us. And I think as women, we intuitively know this. I always say when you put that pill up to your mouth that you know whether you should be taking it or not. We just tend to not listen to ourselves, and particularly when it comes to our health and wellness, we advocate for everybody else, but we don't advocate for ourselves.
And I would love to add a piece to this that my surgeon, a male surgeon, said to me when, by the time I got to him, he said, why is it women are so comfortable with pain that they don't reach out until it's too late? And what he said to me is we get so used to pain, and because he's learned this from his wife, we get so used to pain with our periods that we almost dismiss it as part of what we're supposed to experience. So I totally agree with you.
If it doesn't feel like childbirth, that's the measure of pain, I swear, because, you know, that's the child, you know, the period is nothing compared to the childbirth. So if that's our marker, our gauge for pain, we're off.
Well, and there's, you know, there's such a thing as silent suffering, which is what I say all the time, which is what I did. I silently suffered. You know, you're supposed to, let's suck it up, and, you know, you've got plenty of things to do. We've got a family to take care of. We've got, you know, significant other, a husband, children. We have strangers that we want to take care of. So we take care of everybody but ourselves, right? And in my case, my surgeon happened to be a male a surgeon as well, tops in his field, and he's actually the one who, you know, my story with him is that after going to countless doctors, and he prescribed me a medication to take for hormone replacement therapy, which did not work on me because it is not a one-size-fits-all, I sat my three doctors down. I sat down the surgeon, the doctor who's been taking care of me for the past 15 years, and the doctor who actually I attribute to saving my life. I had a dinner party for them one night. They all came in, sat in the living room, and I sat down with them and I said, now I want to share my story with you because I want you to know what happened to me so that this doesn't happen to another woman. And I'm not angry. I'm not upset anymore. I just need for you to know how critical this is when you're treating somebody about, you know, if you're giving them a hysterectomy, tell them what to expect. Make sure that they need this, and then do all the things that need to be done to give them the information that will help them make the right choice and decision for themselves. And my surgeon actually started to cry as I shared my story because I got so bad that I didn't want to live anymore. And I think at my lowest point, I had to make the decision, am I going to get through this or am I going to let this take me? And I decided that if I did get through it, that I'd make sure no other woman suffered on my watch, not if I could help it. And that's when I started taking my health into my own hands. I read 32 books on the subject. I became a hormone expert by default, as I say. And I found the doctor who could treat me, who happened to be in my backyard in Tucson, Arizona, who I would have never found had a girlfriend not sent a book called Screaming to Be Heard. And that book was me, only I was screaming silently. And that's when I really said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen to someone else. This should never happen to another woman. And that's why, you know, that hence empowerher.com.
Love it. Yep. And that's, you know, I'm so glad you're here with us. And I'm so glad you chose courage instead of fear or death.
Well, I think
it's
a tough decision.
It is. But look at what you've done. I mean, you should just sit back and are you happy now?
You know, I feel the best I've ever felt. So I will say this: at 52, you know, life is better than it ever has been. So my health is I couldn't feel any better if I tried. I think part of that is because I, you know, created this company that, you know, this website that really touches the lives of millions of women. You know, we offer help and hope, but I think too, it's, you know, we're so afraid of second stage of life, right? We think that, you know, oh gosh, what's going to happen that when I hit 50? And I will say that the second stage is the best stage,
yeah,
of life, particularly in my case.
Now, can I go back to Empower? I know as we were talking about what we were going to talk about today, we decided we would wing it. We weren't going to script any of this out, and I think we're on track. But I do want to ask you, on Empower.com, for those listening and for those in the chat room and calling and so forth, now I know the answer to this, so I'm just going to play devil's advocate a little bit here, but is it just about menopause on there, or is it about every women's health issue that you could possibly think of or imagine?
Well, there are over – it's a great question, Elizabeth, and I'm always the last one to plug the
I know you are.
My marketing people don't like it very much. But we have over 750 conditions on Empower. So we have also 330 groups. The whole idea behind Empower was to allow women to connect with one another, right? So if they're in condition, if they've suffered from a hysterectomy, which is what I was searching for on the web and I couldn't find, if they suffered from having a complete hysterectomy, they could reach out to another woman and say, you know, I've just had a complete hysterectomy, can you help me? And our women come on and say, yes, I've been where you are, I've walked a mile in your shoes, and here are some resources for you. And I will tell you that simple validation from another woman saying, yes, I've been there, and you too will get through this, is, you know, it would have been priceless for me to have that. And that's really why I created it. When I created the site, I also made the decision that we needed to focus on women because women's health has been so underserved.
My husband says we have too many moving parts.
Well, and yet we're viewed like men are viewed, right? So
yeah.
So we don't look like men. Internally, we don't function like men, but yet we're given drugs that are tested on men. And when I really started to dive into how far behind we were in women's health, it was like, well, this is a no-brainer. We have to create a site just for women because women need to have their own place to go, and they need to have good, solid, science-based information as well as the opportunity to connect with another woman. So we have leading experts on our site, healthcare professionals who, you know, are focused on women's health. We have women who share their stories, which are the most popular on the site, which is so amazing to me. But and I never thought that really women would, you know, they do. Women trust one another. We don't have to even, we will never see one another. We may never see one another, but we will trust each other more than we will trust. 9 out of 10 of our women trust another woman versus a doctor.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I view your site when I look at it as I know I can go there and I know I can trust the information that's on there versus Google searching on the internet for a topic. I know now that I have a place I can go and not all this, you know, you'll come up under Google search, of course, but I mean, you know, just blindly Google searching, you know, menopause or something, you know, every menopause cream, drug, and so forth comes up first before you actually get to information that would ever help you in a million years. And now you can just go to your website and get there. You cut
right,
through
you
all
can,
the chase.
Yeah, and you do because you can spend countless hours on the web, which I do, you know, which I've done in the past as I've advocated on behalf of many patients, you know, men, women, and children. And I love one of the features on Empower Her that we started when I started the company, because I wanted to ask somebody a question and I wanted to get resources and information, which, you know, I'd spend countless hours searching, like you said, and get led to, you know, here, take this cream, take this pill, you know, read. I mean, it was just crazy, the information that was thrown at me. And none of it was helpful, right, because that was not what I needed. So I created this ask feature on our site, which has been the thing that has taken off the most on Empower, because you can come and ask us a question 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you're going to get a response with us within typically 4.5 hours. And what we're going to do is help you resource information that you might find valuable. So whatever your question is, based on symptoms or based on, you know, I've just been diagnosed with X, we can send you into a group. We can send you to some information. We can send you to videos. We can send you to women sharing their stories. We will also send you outside of our site, because I believe that it's a collaboration, and everything should be collaborative. There's no reason for me to keep you on Empower if you need this information and it's located somewhere else on the web. That would not be serving our women, nor would it serve the company.
Yeah, there. You just got to one of the other my other favorite point about you is that you aren't one of those snotty, controlling women who owns a company. No, you're just a sweetie pie, and you're a sharer and a giver, and you know, you can tell that. You know, as we're talking about all the cool things that Best Ever You can do with your company and yours with mine and all this stuff, you know, it's a collaboration and a beautiful thing. And I was wondering if we could switch gears a little bit off health for just a moment and talk about the beautiful power of, you know how you said women trust other women in health, but, you know, women also trust other women in business as well. And I can tell within, you know, 10 seconds of talking to somebody, if we're gonna do cool things together in life, as I say, you know, like my, you know, you're, like I have this friend Deb Scott, I have Dr. Katie Eastman, I have all these wonderful women in my life, and you can tell instantly when you talk to them that you just love them.
You do, and I've met some amazing women who, you know, since starting the company, amazing women like yourself. It's so interesting to me to see how women will take something that, you know, was a negative for them and turn it into a positive for not only themselves but for other women. That's the beauty of what we do. And we love to share, right? We love to share everything, but yet there's some competitiveness that goes along as well. And in certain cases, when women step out of the box, so to speak, and do something like what you've done and what I've created and what others have done, it can be a bit challenging for other women. And it's challenging to start a company that you really didn't know much more than how to turn on a computer, right? And so now all of a sudden you've started a digital company and you're going, what did I do?
I suddenly become programming my own website. I'm like, how did I get here exactly?
But we're so passionate about what we do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're going to make mistakes along the way, but that's how you learn. Yeah. And I take every mistake as an opportunity to learn and to grow and change from that. But I will tell you, this has not been easy. I've been doing this for 5 years, launched the site 4 years ago. It's not easy. It's not like I thought it was. But would I change it? No way. Not for all the money in the world would I change what I'm doing.
Isn't it funny how you can't? Now let me stop you for 1 second. Can you think of another job that you would actually have other than what you're doing? Because I sit and I'm like, you know, this is exactly making a lot of money. Sometimes I think about going out and getting a real job, as it's been said to me. Sometimes I'm like, but I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing.
No, me neither. I mean, and quite honestly, you work really hard. I work really hard. This is a real job for both of us.
Exactly.
And, you know, the dedication and the commitment is just, you know, I'm sure – you're like I am, Elizabeth, where you spend every waking moment thinking about how can I make a difference in somebody else's life? Mm-hmm. How can I take what I have and really push it, move it forward so that women have an opportunity to learn and participate? Because I think that's all part of it as well. This isn't, you know, it's not me starting in Empower and you starting the Best Ever You Network.
Everybody.
It's everybody. Yeah. This is for everybody. I created this site for all women. This is you. It's their site. It is. It's their site. I just created the platform to give women a voice, and just like you have. I so want women to take hold of this and own it because it's theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say you are the you and best ever you. Not me. You. You know, we have questions in the chat room. Well, actually, a really funny comment in the chat room. Somebody says menopause is like an alien abduction to your own body.
How true.
What planet are they from? I want to know. We might need to shoot a rocket up there. That's funny. And then now someone else says do you deal with fibromyalgia at
yes,
all on
we
your
do.
Site? Because that's
yes, we do.
Rheumatoid arthritis and fibromyalgia seem to be really coming into play as things people are suffering from in quantity.
Yes, yeah, and I think, you know, there's the book that I mentioned earlier, Screaming to Be Heard. I would tell every woman who's listening, young, middle-aged, doesn't matter, they need to purchase this book. The book is by Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet. It's Vliet. And Dr. Vliet is the one who I attribute to saving my life. But this book that will become your women's health Bible, because there's so much information and so many resources, and there's so much research that's been done. And she quotes, you know, all the research components and the science behind all of what goes on with women and their hormones. And what we, you know, what she will talk about in the book is, you know, fibromyalgia and rheumatoid arthritis. Of course, when I was diagnosed with, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, the onset of arthritis, because I just didn't have enough estrogen in my body. So my joints started to ache. So my knee would hurt one day, my shoulder would hurt another day, my fingers would hurt another day. And I kept thinking, what the heck is this? So immediately it's like, oh, well, you must have arthritis. And then you find out, you know, that you must also have, you have a sleep disorder. And so we're going to give you a drug for this, that, and the other thing. But the, you know, we're finding there are over 400 things that affect the body when the hormones aren't in balance. 400.
Yeah, I always say if you are even 35 now is my kind of speech. If you're over 35 and you just don't feel quite right and you don't know what it is, go get your hormone levels checked and go get your vitamin D levels checked. Serotonin and melatonin while you're at it too. Just go get don't get the standard just like cholesterol reading and what's your blood pressure. Really dive deeper and get more information. And sometimes doctors are like, check your estrogen. Why would I need to do that? You're 35, you know, but do it anyway. Just insist.
Exactly. You are spot on. In fact, I think every woman who is young needs to have their hormone levels checked when their levels are optimal.
Yeah.
And if they're feeling well. If they're not feeling well, they need to have their hormones checked anyway. But they need a base. Everybody needs a baseline. I didn't have a baseline. So when, you know, after I had the hysterectomy, and of course when they ran the blood work, and I will say this, you have to run the right tests. There are a lot of tests that need to be run. There's 9 different panels that should be run when they're checking your hormones. Most of the time they won't do it, and you have to insist upon it. This is where you need to start advocating for yourself, and you need to know your own numbers, because it's important as they start to decline or things change, you can actually look at your numbers and say, well, that's interesting, that's different than it looked before, or that's improved, or this is, you know, hasn't improved, and then you're going to get a good idea. And it's blood work that shows this. So, you know, the right tests are important. And then getting that baseline so you know when you start to go into perimenopause, you can see it. It's very clear because the numbers will start declining.
Now, can I ask you, this might be too personal, so just say pass, you know, or whatever you want to say, but what finally made you start feeling better? Did you get just like an estrogen patch or, you know, how was it simple or was it complex?
Well, I was on 9 medications when I went down there. So, and that's pretty standard of what, when I went to see Dr. Vliet, she said, this is pretty standard of what I see with women who are like you who come into my office. So the normal is 9 medications. So she said, first of all, you know, you don't need 9 medications, so we are going to wean you off of some of these medications you're on. And then she said, and I'm going to give you a little bit of estrogel, and I'm going to have you apply it in a certain area in your body, and you're going to do 1 to 2 pumps a day, and then let's see how you feel. And I don't want to introduce anything else because I need to get your estrogen level up, and I want to see if this is going to work. And nothing, because estrogen is a binder for the rest of the hormones, so if the estrogen level is low, nothing, no other, the hormones aren't going to bind to it. So, you know, smart of her to not give me 3 things at once, because then you don't know what's working and what's not. Because the gel may work on me, it may not work on you. As it turned out, within the first 3 days of using the gel, I started to feel like my normal self. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then she gave me some Twin Labs magnesium, by the way, because I had such horrible bowel issues. I suffered from diverticulitis. And she said, we need for it to regulate your bowel. And the Twin Labs magnesium just worked like a charm. I give that tip to every woman that I know, especially because you typically will suffer from constipation at some point in time, and you need something to help you. And magnesium is such a great thing. But it's the Twin Labs that works the best. But between those two things, I started feeling better after 3 days. And then I'm like, then I got mad. Because here I'd been over-medicated, I'd thought about taking my life multiple times and some really creative ways, and it wasn't that tough of a fix. And then we ended up actually, once my estrogen level got up to a certain point, she said, I'm going to give you a little bit of compounded testosterone cream. And I said, okay, I'll try that. Not thinking that I needed testosterone, right? Because that's really a man's hormone.
And but some progesterone also, probably too, huh?
Well, and the progesterone I didn't need because I don't have a uterus. So there's no reason to have progesterone. Although I was over-medicated 100 times the amount of progesterone somebody should be given, I was given and I didn't even need it. So... Mm. But the little bit of testosterone made such a huge difference. My brain function got, just crisp and clear. My body started to change. And it was almost overnight. I will say that I got this, I get what I call, women get what I call SpongeBob, which is this sponginess in the skin that you can't, you just don't know what it is. It's like this, it's trapped under the dermis and it's water retention, but you can't get rid of it. And you can't take a water pill and get rid of it because it doesn't work. So it's a balancing of the hormones. So when your rings don't fit you and your shoes don't fit you, and, you know, those are all, you know, those are telltale signs that you have an imbalance. And so once I got that little bit of testosterone, oh my word, it was life changing. Between
now,
those two things, it was life-changing. Yeah.
Now, should we blame our mothers about this? Because they didn't say anything. Sorry, Katie. I mean, really, who is at fault here? You know, as far as I can tell, we are not the first generation on the planet here. What's the deal?
Well, I think our
we
mothers
not have the
only
internet?
Knew... Yeah, well, they only knew what they knew, right? Which was, again, this, you know, white coat syndrome, go in to the doctor, don't say anything because you're not supposed to. Don't advocate for yourself because that's not what you do, and take what's given you and given to you, and that's the end of it. And, you know, my mom actually had a hysterectomy. So, we never discussed it, but she didn't have a complete hysterectomy like I did. She had her ovaries in, so she still was producing, you know, her hormones, whereas in my case, I went from, you know, women don't realize when the ovaries get removed, you go from 100 to zero overnight. Within 24 hours, you go from having hormones to having no hormones.
And if you don't replace that, what happens to you?
What I do, you tank.
Yeah. Okay.
You just tank.
Now
it's horrible.
Now, let me ask you this: another thing on women's health. We are so wonderful at masking everything about us to make everything just seem so peachy, rosy, perfect. How many times, and be honest, have you gone into the doctor with your makeup on to look as good as you can when you don't feel well?
Every time.
Why do we do that? What, you know, like try to impress the doctor with how great we? I don't know what that is.
Well, I'm not sure if it's that we're trying to make ourselves feel better, right, because we feel so poorly. So at least if we put a little bit of makeup on, it makes us feel a little bit better. But I will say what happened to me over and over again is, you know, I'd go into the doctor and they'd go, well, you look great.
Look great. Yeah, that's what I get too. When I don't feel good, you certainly can't tell you have strep throat. You look perfect. It's like, well, check my throat. It's not.
You're exactly right. But you look great. And I'm like, but I don't feel well. I know I may look great, but I don't feel good. So tell me how you're going to help me feel better. And, you know, I think for women, too, a lot of times we're given, you know, well, here, let's give you an antidepressant, and maybe that'll help you feel better. I hear that and see that all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not the fix, because you're not getting to the core issue. So, you know, as women, it's our responsibility to advocate for ourselves. We can no longer put our health in the hands of a doctor. We need to put our health in our own hands and guide and direct the processes of going to the doctor. And I always say, you know, before you get there, write down your symptoms, write down your questions, fax them in, send them in, email them in, snail mail them in. I don't care how you get that information. But you will then control the appointment, and you won't forget. How many times have we left there and go, oh, shoot, I forgot to ask this question? And you can't go back and go, excuse me, can I talk to the doctor for one more second? It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't get much time before you're interrupted to begin with, so you have to take control, and you also have to have all your paperwork, and you have to put it in a binder, and you have to keep it with you, because this is how you're going to control your own health and wellness.
There are so many people in the chat room right now who are saying, gosh, I'm so embarrassed to say, but that is how I felt, and that they can relate to everything that you're saying. And we've got cyber hugs for you even. We've got a lot of stuff going on in this chat room. And that book Michelle mentioned is called Screaming to be Heard by Dr. Did you say Valet? Elizabeth Valet? How do you say her last name?
Elizabeth Lee Vliet. It's Fleet, but Vliet. It's V-L-I-E-T.
Okay, so Screaming to be Heard. Now,
The
other thing, you know, I'm not sure women do this as much as guys do, but do women go into, like, denial? Like, you know, I don't feel good, but I am going to ignore this, and I don't really want to know what's wrong.
Of course.
I'm going to ignore this.
They're good at it, right? And that's why us women are there to say, no, you need to get into the doctor. You need to, you know, we need to figure out what's wrong with you. And I will say, though, interestingly enough, what we're seeing on Empower Her today is different than what I would have thought. Number one, we have a pretty substantial male audience, believe it or not. I think part of it is because it's a safe environment. They can ask us a question. We're never going to say, oh, my gosh, you're a man. You need to off the site you go. I think they're also, what we're seeing is that they're advocating on behalf of their wife, their mother, their daughter. and or a significant other. They're also searching for, you know, they want to learn more about us because they don't know everything that they need to know. And I find that a refreshing change because I would have thought that there's no way they want to, you know, that they're interested in learning about women's health and how we work and function. And but it's fascinating to see how many men come on, how respectful they are, the questions they ask, the questions they will ask us. Like my wife just, you know, had a double mastectomy and now she's at home and she has drains in and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll guide them through the process because, you know, they need this information as much as we do. And they're searching too, quite honestly, but they're just searching in a different way. They're not sharers like we are by nature.
Yeah, I found that with Best Ever You also. Just about almost half of our audience is male. And I never would have thought that in a million years, ever. Isn't that just, I mean, it's just wild. And, you know, the interesting thing that we're finding is that men are great sharers too, though. They just share in their own way.
They are.
They do. They share in their own way, though, and a lot of them are marvelous writers. That's what I've learned.
Yes.
Marvelous.
Yes.
When you get a guy to write, it's just cool. You know, they do. They may not say everything they're thinking and feeling, but they will write it. Cool.
They will, and they do share. You're absolutely right, Elizabeth. They share just like we share. And so when I started the company, you know, I would get, and I still get this all the time. What about Empow Him? You did Empow her, but what about him? What about Empow Him? And I used to say, when I figure out how y'all share, I will be more than happy to create Empow Him. At least I know with women that they, you know, there's a sharing component. But what I've learned is that they do share the same.
Yeah, once they get comfy, cozy, they do. They have
exactly.
to. They like observe and listen for a while, and then they contribute. But they're. I noticed that they're more like eyes and reading. Sometimes that's the way that they share. Also, they don't exactly share. You know, you just know they're there. I can see by the click that they're there. But you know, they just are in observing mode or you know sponge mode, where they're just you know absorbing the information and using it, but maybe not being vocal about it. Kind of interesting.
Exactly.
And we
love men, and we want, you know, we behind every man is a woman.
Mm.
And it's just that simple. And so, you know, the more information we can that they can gather for whomever they're trying to help or for themselves, I'm all in. The company's all in. The women that we have on our site are always, you know, more so gracious and very happily will answer questions and will start a dialogue with them.
So tell me a little bit more about your website. What can a user do on your website? Can they join your website? Can they write on your website? And you know, just tell us a little. Give us a tour of your website if you would.
So they can come on. When you come onto the homepage, you can, you know, become a member of Empower Her. You can also join, you know, our Facebook group. You can join our Twitter. We have about 14,000 Twitter followers. We have 22,000 people in our over 22,000 on Facebook. And then we have about 33,000 members on Empower Her. So that's one thing you can do. You can sign up for conditions of interest, for example. So if you're if you have a specific condition that you suffer from, or a family member does, or someone you know, we will send you a weekly digest giving you other information that is new and pertinent to that particular condition. So it kind of keeps you updated. Also, other women who are sharing their stories on that condition, you will have a link to that as well. We have a weekly newsletter that you can sign up for so you can get the latest, greatest of what's happening on Empower Her. And you can go to our video section and you can get, you know, you can, on over 750 conditions, you can get an expert talking about a specific condition or a specific health topic like weight management. Weight management is always a big topic for us on the site. Thyroid is a big topic for us on the site. Sexual health is a huge topic for us on the site. And reproductive health is another one. And mental health. which is really fascinating. It's always one of the top three. So you can, you know, you can choose to view another woman's story. You can share with us. So you can go into our share section of the site and you can share your own story. Because Elizabeth, as you and I both know, and Dr. Eastman, you as well, we all have our own story. And I think that and we want to share that story. I did not think that women would be as willing to be on camera to and be videotaped and sharing their story. There was one woman in particular who comes to mind who came in to talk about her ovarian cancer, and she's survived it four times. And about 4 weeks after she was diagnosed, her daughter was diagnosed. And she survived, and her daughter didn't.
Oh.
And she shared this story on video. And I had no idea. I think we were all just, you know, so moved, number one, by her sharing it. But she was upset, rightfully so, right? And she was a bit angry, which, again, rightfully so. And she kept saying to me, why did I live and she didn't? And afterwards, she left, and I thought, I wonder how this is going to feel to her when she's, you know, when she digests doing this video. And she called us up, and she said, I want to do more.
Oh.
And we said,
that's an interesting
really?
Reaction.
Yeah, she said, because what I have found is this has been so cathartic for me, and the more I share, the better I feel and about what has happened, and if I can help another woman, I'm all in. And she has continued to be a big supporter of Empower Her. This was in, you know, the early days of the company, and she has battled ovarian cancer again several times over. But she has continued to come in and share and share and share and share, empower her and share her story. And I think that's the key, is that, you know, it's cathartic to be able to share.
Yeah, I have so many sisters. I have to actually stop and count. I think I have 7 sisters, and there are so many different things health wise that have happened to all of us. You know, like I've been resuscitated from food allergic reactions. My sisters have had also had hysterectomies, also had ovarian cysts, fibroids, you know, and even older generation going into my grandma, Alzheimer's, which is something that, you know, also strikes women quite more often than men as well. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about Empower Her is, are you advocating to raise money for all of these different causes or anything like that? It doesn't appear to me that you are, which makes it sort of a clean site with no hidden agenda.
We run a clean operation.
Clean ship.
So we do run a clean ship. We will, you know, our job is to support women's health organizations who are helping, trying to get the word out for women on specific conditions, right? And so what we do as much as we can as a company, we actually offer them a free page on Empower Her so that they can, you know, get their information out in front of our women, because we have about 2.5 million women a month coming to the site. And so we want to give them as much exposure as we can. I'm also very careful and mindful about who actually is on our site from a sponsorship side. So because we're a for-profit company and our goal is to touch the life of every woman around the world, you know, we became a for-profit company for many reasons, but that was one. And the other was for me to be able to go back and advocate on behalf of women in Washington, D.C. and be able to hire lobbyists. But
hang on. Lobby on behalf of women, like for, say, what? What would you be lobbying for?
Well, for example, I went back and testified before the FDA on women not having a sexual health drug available to them. So in other words, my testosterone cream is not FDA approved because the FDA, for whatever reason, does not think that women do not have sexual health issues. So they call it sexual dysfunction. I hate the term dysfunction, so I don't like using it. But we do suffer from, you know, we have the blue pill for men, which is what I said during the hearing. But, you know, what happened to the pink pill? The blue pill's been around for 10 years. There's no pink pill. When are we going to get to a point where we go, women need the pink pill and men, you don't really need the blue pill because we don't have our pink pill.
But they also don't, you know, someone doesn't go through and take all of their reproductive organs out either.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I've got a whole video on that.
You know.
I
bet that if, you know, somebody, you know, if men had happened to them what we have happened to us, there'd be a pill.
Exactly. And we have it regardless of whether we've had a complete hysterectomy or not, right? Because we lose our levels, and so that when we lose the testosterone levels, that's our, that, you know, with our sexual health hormones, that becomes problematic. And you know, we don't have the desire or the urge anymore to have sex. In fact, we don't even really want to have somebody touching us. It isn't because we don't love that person or our husband or significant other, whatever. It's just that, you know, those hormones aren't there.
Have you done any research into what the safest kind? I know you've had Hot Flash Havoc on board as well. Have you done any research into what is the safest way to replace those hormones? Because I know there was so much chatter, and there's, I don't know what the chatter levels are right now. You know, don't do estrogen, it causes breast cancer. And so, you know, there's this wave of people that don't take anything, and we've got problems all around. So do we know for sure right now what's safe and what's not as far as hormone replacement therapy?
Well, there's been so many studies. You know, it's that WHI study, the Women's Health Initiative, that caused all the trouble. And, you know, there was this man who came out, and before the study actually was supposed to be, and leaked the study early and leaked it in a way that was not not appropriate. And so it caused every woman around the world to go off of her hormones, and it was awful. And the result was awful. And I think we're going to find down the road, as they're going to actually do some research on this, that, you know, it actually killed women when they went off their hormones, that women died from it. And we'll see more and more of this happening, because I think that was such a
heart problem, doesn't it? When you lose your estrogen,
your heart. All kinds of things. Of issues.
Is the number one killer of women still heart disease?
It is. Number one is heart, and number two is lung cancer.
Lung cancer? From smoking or from breathing in why lung cancer, do you know? Just curious.
Well, I'm sure it's a combination of things, but for women, it's for sure the second killer. So number one for men and women is heart, and then number two for women is lung cancer. So whether it's smoking or, you know, in certain cases, we've seen incidents of women who have lung cancer who never smoked, whether it's secondhand smoke or they're predisposed, I don't know, but I do know that it is the second killer.
Yeah.
Second largest killer for women.
Now, you said, you know what, the other thing I'm loving about you is that you're not afraid of your age, 52, 62, 72, 42, you're saying it, and so many women hide their age. I don't know why, but, you know, whatever. I'm 42, you know, almost 43. You look amazing, and you look healthier than ever and so forth. What are some of the things that you are doing personally to stay so fit and you know, be healthy inside and out?
Well, I do a combination of things. Number one, I try to take my hormones on a regular basis, do it consistently, because I think that made a huge difference for me. For lots of reasons. But, you know, meditation for me is really important. I do yoga because I find that to be, I need the stretching because I'm sitting, you know, so long, or I'm running in and out of, on and off of airplanes. So I need that quiet downtime. And, you know, we're so busy in here in the office. But I also love to dance. Now, some people know this about me, some don't. Yeah,
are you a Zumba girl?
So I am a Zumba girl, but more importantly, is I'm a girl who dances alone in her home. So I crank up the music in the morning. That's the first thing I do when I hop out of bed, is I go put the iPod on that has 8,000 songs, and I just let it go. And I do that in the morning, and I do that at night. And it really, you know, and I'll dance for a half hour to 45 minutes, both morning and night, and it just feels so good. And it's such a great way to exercise, right? You know, it doesn't feel like exercise. It's
without
fun.
Going down the block dancing.
Exactly. But I almost feel like Tom Cruise in that movie, you know, where he's got the guitar and he's in his underwear and he's playing the air guitar.
You and me both. What'd you say, Katie? That's you?
Katie, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are, you know, all three of us. That's really funny because all three of us, you know, it's probably somewhat fortunate that we all three live in different spots, because otherwise we'd have one great dance party. Maybe we'll have to get together and do that. But Katie, you're quite a dancer too, aren't you?
I am, and my daughter is a dancer, and one of my favorite things to do is to do just that, to take the living room over and put on the heavy music and just rock out with her and my husband, and we can make total fools of ourselves, but it really is a wonderful release. And I do that running, too. I feel like when I'm listening to music and walking or running in nature that I'm dancing, because I'm just moving to the music. So, yes, absolutely. I think that
Katie,
one thing I would love to...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, because I'm thinking of you and I at dancing class here in Maine.
Oh, God.
I dragged Katie to ballet.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
I love ballet, too, by the way. I took ballet for years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do, too. But, you know, we really... I'd kind of say we pretty much sucked. It was fun, but we were really bad.
Oh, I would say our...
You know what, Katie, you were really good, though.
Probably the... Oh, God, we were hysterical. We should have been on Saturday Night Live. I mean, Dana Carvey could have done it no better.
He made us go in one corner of the room and do turns to the other corner of the room. And one of the things that happens to us all as we age, too, is we get a little dizzy at moments, and... Katie and I were both, you know, we'd stop after the second turn and the room would still be spinning. That was so funny. Oh.
I love it.
The leaps were the worst, though. The leaps were absolutely...
Oh,
oh
yeah, we had
to leap.
Yeah. Oh, so funny.
You know,
well,
I love what you guys have said today. And one thing I want to just say and echo is I love your website, because it's not only empowering in so many ways to the people who read it, but it's got scholarly articles. It empowers us to work together with allopathic medicine, with physicians, with complementary care providers. It's really balanced. And that, to me, was my greatest learning, is that physicians need our information. They are looking for our information. They are stuck in a position of having to get a 15-minute, because of insurance and because of how we've driven our healthcare system, they have 15 minutes to diagnose us, treat us, and on our way. And they're looking for that help. They're just as frustrated as we are.
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, we have quite a few physicians who come on Empower and say, thank you for doing this. But I do a segment with Dr. Manny Alvarez for Fox back in New York. And the first segment we did together, after the segment, he said, I cannot thank you enough for creating Empower. Oh, my gosh. You know, my women come in, and he's an OB, and he goes, they come in, and I try and educate them, and I send them home with information, and they come back, and they haven't read it. And he said, and there's nothing better than an educated patient. I want them to bring information into me. I want them to, you know, to advocate for themselves. That is the greatest gift that they could give to me as their being their doctor. And I thought, wow, that's really fascinating. But the truth is that I don't think anybody goes in, you know, goes through school and to become a doctor and go, I mean, it's such a rigorous program.
Help people. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. They don't come into it thinking I don't want to help anybody. They go into it thinking I want to make a difference, right? Like we all want to make a difference. They want to make a difference too.
Well, you are doing that, and we are out of time. And I am so very, very thankful to have you with us. I'm glad you chose courage because the world needs you. The world needs you so much. And I just want everybody in the chat room, throw those smiley faces out there and do whatever you can do in the chat room to give us a big round of applause so Michelle can hear you in the chat room. Yay, I wish I had an applause button. But Michelle King Ropes and everyone from empowher.com, that's empowher.com. And I want to just thank you so much for being with us. You can follow her on Facebook at M. King Robeson or Empower Her. And you can, I'm sorry, on Twitter. And you can also find them all on Facebook. And we are out of time. Michelle, thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you,
it's been a pleasure.
All right, take care, everybody. Have a great day. Join us tomorrow with Gary Kobat. We'll be here at 1 o'clock. Take care, everybody. Have a great day.